Hey guys, welcome back to the Face Rocker Podcast, the official Rocket Jump Podcast. Today's episode, episode 98. We're almost there. We're getting close to the end. Just got to remind you guys, after episode 100, we're going to be discontinuing the Face Rocker Podcast. I know you're sad, but it doesn't mean it's actually, you're not going to see us anymore. We've been doing a whole bunch of new things. We're still going to be bringing guests in. We've just kind of switched our setup and we're going to be doing Twitch streams. But you think we're just going to be playing video games? That's not what we do. We do a bunch of fun, special stuff. But it's almost the same thing we're doing here, just on a different platform. We're bringing in friends. We're bringing in people in the company that are working on the videos that week that you enjoy and you want to know more about. We're going to go in depth about it, just like we're doing here. So come check us out there. That's twitch.tv/rocketjump. But for today's episode, you might know if you're watching this, but Rocket Jump the Show is live. It's up on Hulu right now. It's the first episode's up on our YouTube channel if you don't have Hulu. And if it wets your whistle enough, you can get a free 30 days Hulu subscription. That's a Hulu Plus subscription. No commercials. It's commercial free. If you go to rocketjump.com/Hulu, they'll hook you up with that. But we want you guys to all go check out the show. But we have the showrunner and creator, Ben Waller, with us, and the lead writer, Anthony Birch, to sit down, talk about the production of the show, the post-production of the show, their ideas on where they wanted to take it, the tone, anything you want to know about the show. We break it down today and how they're feeling and the response about the episode so far. We really enjoy it. We think you guys will enjoy it too. Before we get into it though, just want to talk to you guys really quickly about today's episode sponsor. Today's sponsor is Loot Crate. Now, if you don't know what Loot Crate is a fantastic subscription box service that'll send you 6 to 8 items monthly. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time to sign up each month for that month's themed Loot Crate box. This month's theme is Galaxy. So what that means is they've got sweet Star Wars The Force Awakens gear. They've got an exclusive Funko Pop character for you. They've got an exclusive shirt for you. But it's less than $20 a month, and they give you over $40 worth of gear. It's almost like a stocking being mailed to you. Christmas is coming up. You like stockings? That's pretty much what Loot Crate is, but it's all year long. And they're hooking you up right now. If you go to lootcrate.com/facerocker, you use the promo code facerocker, you'll get $3 off your subscription. So we really appreciate them supporting the podcast. We hope you guys go check them out and give them your support. But until then, we hope you enjoy the episode. All right, guys, welcome back to another episode of the Face Rocker Podcast, the official Rocket Jump Podcast. Today's episode is number 90. Oh, my gosh. I don't know. It's either 98 or 99. We're getting close to the end.
Whoa!
Close to the end. We're almost there. And we've got a special treat for you today. We've got the creator and showrunner of Rocket Jump the Show, Ben Waller, is here. And the head writer, Anthony Birch, is here. And the show is out right now. You can go watch the first two episodes on Hulu. The first episode is live on our channel on YouTube right now if you don't have Hulu. But it's there, it's happening, it's going on, and we're here with you guys. We want to talk about it. How does it feel? Have you slept yet? Is there any sort of relief, or are you still working?
So we are still delivering episodes right now. So we haven't, it's weird, it's sort of...
How many have you delivered so far?
We've delivered five episodes so far. So we're definitely ahead.
Yeah.
We're definitely ahead. We just don't want to get, you know, overtaken by real life.
Definitely.
Having it come out was really cool. It was awesome to see everybody on the stream and like getting together to do that. But it was weird because you couldn't really take it all in because you know that there's still a lot left to do. And there's still, you know, you still have to finish the story. And I can't even imagine what it's like on a show with like 25 episodes in a season because there's no way they finish it. Like Good Wife, there's no way. They're probably still shooting while the season's going on. And that's got to affect... Like, I imagine it would affect the writing process or, like, the future episodes that they're making.
Because you're doing everything at the same time, I assume? I don't know. That sounds horrifying.
That does sound horrifying. we had the premiere on Monday for everybody in-house, and that we got to watch it on a big screen in a theater. But I was most excited, personally. I was most excited. I tried to stay away from some of the episodes to just, like, watch it in my house, like, the real TV way, on my couch, grab the remote, hit the button, Did you enjoy it more in the theater when we got to watch it, or did you do the same thing? Have you sat in your living room and watched it yet? You guys, did you do it?
Yeah, I've definitely done that. Yeah, I did it with my friends back at home, and it was nice. It was more intimate. I think I liked that a little bit better. I don't know. It's still pretty cool to see you and your friends on a big screen.
Yeah.
When you're surrounded by a bunch of Hulu executives who are contractually obligated to find this funny. Yeah. So like, that's kind of enjoyable, I guess.
Amanda had some people, my girlfriend had some people over, and we all watched it, and it was like the 1,000th time I'd seen it.
Yeah.
So it was interesting to see people who aren't really our fans or anything mm-hmm. watching it and them reacting.
Speaking of reactions, how have the reactions been so far? Are people happy? Do they enjoy it so far? So far, so good?
People I've spoken to in person with my mouth like it a lot. Internet commenters are internet commenters, so I don't know
about that. Well, I mean, how about you guys? Are you happy so far with what you've done? I mean, not exactly what you... I mean, everything changes from the actual beginning to where you end up with, but has it exceeded your own expectations? Has it done what you've wanted it to achieve so far, at least the first episode?
I think speaking just to the behind-the-scenes portion, like, it's far beyond what I mm-hmm. hoped it could be, and I think we really showed something interesting when it comes to showing people making something together. I mean, it's not contentious. We don't all yell at each other. No one gets fired.
Exactly.
There's fighting, but it's for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of other stuff is drama for drama's sake and fighting because that's the only thing that we have to drive the story. Mm-hmm. And in this case, the story is larger than that. The story is larger than any one person on set. The story is how are we going to tackle what we're trying to do together?
Is that where you wanted to take it from the get-go? Did you always have this vision of that portion of the show being really illustrating that this is a team effort from everyone here on set or in this company? Or was that something you kind of found that story as you started to shoot the show?
When I was pitching it to Matt and Freddie and Dez, one of the closest references I had was Hard Knocks, which is a show on HBO about NFL teams in their mm-hmm. preseason warm-ups and practices and who gets chosen for the squad and all that other stuff. And so it was absolutely coming from a place of, this is a team of people doing something that they love. Now let's see them in their element and see how they behave under duress.
Yeah, definitely. Now, Anthony, how do you feel? Because obviously you were in charge of writing the shorts mm-hmm. For each episode. How have the response been so far for the short portion of the episode? Because I know it's been a long time, and I'm sure our fans know. I mean, you guys have been hard at work on the show for better part of a year now, mm-hmm. and our channel, we've spent a couple months not uploading videos because everyone's been working on these videos, mm-hmm. and so now we finally have 8 weeks of some of the biggest things we've ever done. Are you excited finally to see what you've been writing, like, come to life in screen? Like,
yeah. I mean, it's... On the one hand, it's like, it's always nice to have what you done be out there. But on the other hand, like, it's that you have to care about the process more than the reaction to it, mm-hmm. you know? Because, like, I think it was like within an hour of posting High Plains Drifter, people were like, why are the dudes making out in this? And they were like really angry about that and focused only on that. It's like, there's like 10 other minutes of the movie you could comment on. That's the only thing you care about.
I just love that it comes immediately after two women making out.
And nobody mentions that. No one had a problem. It's completely fine. That's neutral. That doesn't count. That's not gay. Two girls making out is not gay. No. That's default. No. Two guys making out is a war crime.
Yeah.
But no, from non-internet people that I've talked to, they seem to dig it, and I'm pretty happy with them. I'm really, really happy with how Fan Friction turned out. High Plane Shifter is a lot of fun, too. I'm excited to see how the other ones come out.
Now, the last time we talked to you, Ben, we had you on the podcast a while ago, and that was when we were actually shooting. We spoke with you and Asham on set. I think we were at Riverfront.
Was it Tip Jar Day?
I think it was Tip Jar Day. We were shooting, and that was a very, very long time ago, and that was in the middle of production. And I was asking you then how difficult it was to write and shoot basically two shows at once, because you have documentary going on, and then you also have the short, the actual narrative. How has post-production been working on two separate shows pretty much in one? How has that challenge worked out for you guys?
It's been difficult.
Yeah.
It definitely has been difficult, and it's been a lot of time sort of learning the workflow and getting mm-hmm. used to it. The strangest part is that you spend all this time trying to finish one episode, and you turn it in, and, you know, obviously in this situation, like, Hulu has notes that they want to contribute. There's quality control issues to be accounted for, but your brain is already on the next episode. So in reality, you're, yes, each episode's coming out weekly, but you're working on all 8 episodes at the same time, regardless, because you're addressing an edit note that you knew you had to address on episode 8, while at the same time you're making sure that the audio doesn't peak incorrectly in episode 1. I mean, it just runs the gamut from really specific technical problems to larger story fixes that you want to make. And doing all that at once with, you know, thankfully everyone here is amazing at their jobs, so it's not as difficult as it could be. But doing it all at once is still a massive undertaking.
Yeah. Now I want to know, because obviously this show is going to be held against some of the other shows that have come out and that have shown the other side of production. And, like, you know, people will compare it to, like, your Project Greenlights and things like that. And that season just finished, and it didn't seem like the most enjoyable situation to be in. I mean, I'm not dogging him or anything, but I mean, you could see it. They made it seem very, very stressful, which filmmaking is extremely stressful, and there's a lot of hard work that goes into it. Was it just the fact that we're lucky enough to work in a place where everybody does have so much fun, even though while they're working on set, or did you really want to make a point to, like, really show did you really want to let people know, like, yes, it's hard, yes, there's a lot of challenges, but, like, at the end of the day, we're playing with big toys in a big sandbox. Like, was that something you wanted to really express from the get-go, or is that something you kind of picked up on as you were working on the show?
So this was my first time doing something like this, and Anthony, obviously, you've been lead writer on a ton of stuff.
One minor video game.
It's a small project. It was a passion project.
It was an indie game. It was about feelings.
So because we're all relatively new to this process, we all come in with a fresh, like, Zen beginner's mind, and no one has any preconceived notions about how things should run. And a lot of times when you watch this other behind the scenes stuff, it's with a crew that's very seasoned. And maybe that's why you see a lot of conflict between the personalities, and maybe not as much about the people trying to figure it out together. I think everyone here is so excited to just be making something that they don't have time to let their egos get in the way. And it's more about how are we going to, you know, team up against this thing. Everything else seems like it's people versus one another, and this seems like it's people versus the world.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I think our relative newness to that experience contributed greatly.
Just the fact that we're not pieces of shit.
Yeah.
Thankfully. I hope not.
Generally speaking, the majority of the time, we're not pieces of shit.
Well, I'm sure some of us
are. We didn't restage things, you know, it wasn't like, oh, smile instead of, like, frowning at this person.
Pretend you're enjoying the, it wasn't, no. Yeah.
Is that, now, going off of that, is that something you wish maybe you had done in terms of post and working on the edit? Because that would have made your job easier. You made it harder on yourself. Yeah, like, are there ever times where you're like, man, maybe we should have done that? Or are you happy with, even though it was way greater of a challenge, are you still happy with that decision of just going with what was actually there?
I mean, there's always restatements of stuff too, and it's not all cinema verite.
Yeah, I mean, we all have a bit of a story sense. Anthony was a huge help in that department because he's freaking good at it. But the difference between documentary and reality shows is that reality shows are scripted. Like, oh, cat's out of the bag. Everything is fake. They make the entire thing up. They sit there and they go, okay, you are going to say this to this person, regardless of what the actual circumstances are. They may elevate the actual conflict, but it's all staged for the benefit of the cameras. And what we did maybe to our, as a mistake was to not do that. And we just kind of filmed everything and let it ride in front of the camera, and then came back and said, okay, what are the stories we can tell with these moments? And focused our interviews around those moments rather than creating moments to then have fake interviews about.
Yeah.
So if we get a season 2, you're going to, like, throw snakes at people on set. randomly.
We're going to have eliminations every episode. Like, there'll be a new head writer every episode.
Shit, you start with head writer? Is how you do me?
Like, after 1 week on set, the crew votes if the director stays or leaves. Like,
and you're like, wait, the first half of the short was pretty bad, but the second half got really good.
It was fantastic. Now, Anthony, I wanted to ask you, because this was the first thing you've worked with our company with, and you've been working on your own channel for some time, and you've done a lot of shorts and videos for years now. What was it like working on a much larger scale production? We've done shorts for years, Ben, and you've been here since day one when it was just a camera in an alley. You know, like, how much fun was that, or how different was that? Were there ever times where you just stopped and like looked around? Because I know I did when we were on set for High Plains, especially days when everyone's like all costumed up. Like those are the days when you just like stop and I look around. I'm like, whoa, this is kind of cool. Did you ever catch yourselves like just, or did you not have time because you were in the middle of busting your ass all day? Like, did you ever take a second to like look around and be like, this is kind of sweet?
Well, it was definitely sweet, but I'm so pessimistic that I was like, I can't enjoy a thing while it's happening. So I was like, you know, on the set of High Plains, I'm like, oh my God, this looks like a real Western. Clearly we're going to get like canceled midway through or something. Like John Hu is going to come and be like, I changed my mind. Yeah. And like all of it will be for nothing. It really wasn't until the premiere and stuff like that where I got to be like, we did a thing. Like, we're still doing a thing, but we did a thing. And it felt awesome to do something of that scale. And like, 'cause like my web series that I did with my sister and my friend Justin is literally just two people sitting on a couch going like video games, like for 90 seconds. And to scale up to something that's as insane as High Plains Drifter or Fan Friction was such a joy, but really difficult, really a big learning experience.
Hey guys, really quick, just want to tell you about today's episode sponsor, Loot Crate. Now what Loot Crate is their subscription box service that once a month will send you a box that's pretty much like a stocking, stuffed with sweet rad gear, about 6 to 8 items worth of gear. It's less than $20 a month. You get over $40 worth of gear. I know that doesn't make mathematical sense, but that's what they do. That's their business. That's a real, true story, okay? Each month they have a themed Loot Crate, okay? So like one time before, they had a sweet rad VGHS Loot Crate that was just filled with only VGHS gear. But what they're doing this month is a galaxy themed Loot Crate, okay? So what that means is you're gonna find Star Wars Force Awakens exclusive merchandise in there, okay? There's gonna be an exclusive Funko Pop, there's stuff from Halo 5, there's more gear, collectibles, and t-shirts in there. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time each month to sign up, and then that themed crate is gone. It's not happening again. The items inside of it disappear. They're not gonna sell them again, so you really wanna get on that deal. And they're gonna hook you up this month. If you go to lootcrate.com/facerocker and you use the promo code facerocker, you'll get $3 off your subscription. And I mean, you can keep Christmas going all year long. Why not get a stocking once a month, not just once a year, okay? So we really appreciate Loot Crate supporting the podcast. We hope you'll check them out and show them your support too. But right now we're going to head back to the chat with Anthony and Ben, and we hope you come back. All right, so we're back right now, and it's kind of funny because the office is always changing, and there's always different parts of the office being used at different times, and we've had to shift our recording studio to the main lobby.
The front door.
It's literally, the front door is 1 inch behind the camera right now, and we keep seeing our employees, as smart and as talented as we all are, everyone gets so confused at the sign that says, please use the north entrance. I've seen everyone just like look, and I look left and right, and I can see them thinking, north, whatever. But
if Polaris is here, yeah, and the sun is setting this way,
and it's 2 o'clock,
they look like dogs time. Who've entered a room and all the furniture has been switched around.
Oh my God. But anyway, also another really quick funny story. We had to take a break also because Ben needed to get hyped. Okay. Ben took a break and he was like, can I get hyped for a second? And I'm like, what does that mean? Ben needed a cup of hot tea. What kind of tea is it, Ben, that hypes you?
English breakfast black tea, which actually has more coffee or caffeine than a cup of coffee.
Really?
Really?
No, I just...
Oh, that sounded real.
Well, yeah, I was like really jacked because I would rather drink tea than coffee, like flavor-wise. If it's got more caffeine, that sounds like a ball.
Dude, no, flavor-wise, it's way better than coffee.
Oh, okay.
But it's got about the same, 90 milligrams a glass, you know?
You know a lot. That's a good...
When you're
going to
get hyped, you got to know about the thing that's getting you hyped, I suppose.
Yeah.
Dude. Well, I mean, look, if you're here like for a while and you're drinking a bunch of coffee, it's not good for you. So you have to figure out like how to get the same amount of caffeine.
I mean, tea's also not that good for you.
What?
Is it? Is tea bad?
No, tea's good for you.
If caffeine's caffeine, it's inherently not that good.
Does it matter how it's being transported
but
to the stream?
Coffee's got a bunch of other crap in it, right?
I mean, sure, it's better, but still, like, caffeine is not an ideal thing for your body.
No, but if you drank, like, a year's worth of tea and a year's worth of coffee...
Yeah, I mean, and if you smash yourself in the foot with a hammer and then got a paper cut, the first one would be worse, but just don't get hurt. But that said... Yeah. I'm not the one who's having to stay here all the night and edit a show together, so who the fuck am I to talk?
That's true. Is that something that, oh my God, that's a good, yeah. So like, since once the grind started of making this show and the sleepless nights began, which I'm sure started very, very early, was that something like actually hit your brain when you're like, oh crap, I'm drinking way too much coffee. I need to find a plan B. Yeah,
absolutely. You have to, everything, when you're staying up all night, and this is, I hope this doesn't sound arrogant because I don't mean it to be, but when you're staying up all night, you have to be highly cognizant of every single thing you put in your body because essentially you become a machine in service to the job that you're trying to do. So everything becomes like fuel units.
Oh, God.
There we go. There we go.
Ben and his Lamborghini.
Everything, it's like you have to know how much water you're putting in. You have to make sure you're getting enough water because you don't know how much sleep you're getting. Mm-hmm. And water is like the oil for your body. So you have to make sure that you're getting enough of it. And you have to time out your sleep. And you have to know like, oh, if I have 3 hours downtime, I have to sleep 3 hours because I need at least two REM cycles or something like that. Like everything, it becomes a game of like.
You should talk to Matt. Because I don't think he's doing that part correctly. Dude just grabs a monster and goes for it.
He grabs a monster and plays 3 hours of Destiny and goes, that was basically sleep. Yeah. Because of what he was doing.
Dude, that's incredible. That's pretty smart. Yeah, I like how scientifically you did that.
Well, yeah, because you don't want to crash and you don't want to feel miserable. Because you want to set yourself up to be in a position where like your body can support your brain because your brain is the part you need to edit and everything. But if your body is making it really difficult to like be happy or be awake or aware, you're not going to be able to do the things you need to creatively. So you have to like fine tune. You have to just give yourself like the bare minimums. It's like no sugar, no cookies, nothing like that, even though you want cookies.
Yeah. Oh, I just had some this morning. Delicious.
I know.
Leftover game night, chocolate chips.
But at Rocket Jump, the show cookies.
We do have Rocket Jump the Show cookies.
Yeah, we do.
What was, okay, now obviously the show is cool and all, but the little trinkets are always fun too. Were the cookies the thing most exciting? The napkins or the pillows? Because there have been all three, and it's hilarious how random it all is that there are branded pillows, cookies, and napkins.
I don't have a Rocket Jump the Show shirt, but we have Rocket Jump the Show cookies.
I don't even think we have one sheet of Rocket Jump the Show, but we've got pillows, napkins, and cookies.
I like the pillows because we got a picture of Lauren and I at the premiere of her smothering me with a pillow while I'm trying to get her away from me. That was pretty fun.
Now, what do I want to know, kind of conversely to that, what have you guys been doing throughout the production of the show and throughout the writing of the show when your brain needed a break? What do you do to like reset yourself? I always think about, you know, and I always bring this up, but I was always so fascinated watching the 6 Days of Air documentary and just having Trey Parker explain why he loves Legos and why he uses Legos to reset his brain and to not make decisions after a whole day of making every decision. What is your go-to hobby or relaxation method to like bring yourself back or step away from the process for a minute when that happens?
Like other than spanking it?
Well, I mean, if that's what... I mean, I think that's a given. I think everyone... I mean, that's why we don't talk about...
Oh, yeah, I breathe from time to time.
I mean, like, what's the... Because we all know. I mean, of course.
Games, I think.
Yeah.
Board games or video games.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to feel like you accomplished a thing, whereas, like, when you're writing, you don't know if anything's good. You won't know what... When we were writing the scripts for this show... You know, yeah, it's art.
You're never satisfied. You just, at one point, you have to just let go and hand it off. You're never satisfied.
And, I mean, when did we finish the scripts for the show? When was the last time, like...
Like the day of shooting.
Yeah, but it was pretty early. It was months and months and months ago. And like when we finished writing the scripts, we're like, cool, I hope that works. And you won't know for another like 6 months. So you just get to live in this terror. But if you're playing a game or, you know, playing a video game and you beat it, you go, I did a thing. I am a strong, confident woman who doesn't have to take guff from anyone.
It's a weird like because life, you know, you're constantly improving.
Yeah.
So saying that you finished a script or something, I think for all of us is a weird experience because it's like, well, no, I'm going to be better in like a month at writing. So why am I finished now? Like, I'm going to keep writing for another month and the script will be even better. So literally until like you're filming that scene, we're constantly writing and rewriting these things. Yeah. And that becomes a very, sometimes you're not doing yourself any favors.
Yeah.
And you're making it worse by continuing to write. And you might put yourself in like a creative direction that isn't as good. You might have gotten it the first time, but you never know.
And almost every time we stopped writing a script, it was like, I guess this is fine. It was never like, yeah,
yeah,
killed it. It was always just like, I hope this will be, I hope this is good. We'll see in 6 months. Good luck.
Like the thing, the video, the episodes we watched at the premiere were still three versions old.
Oh, really?
Were they?
Yeah. Those weren't even the finished.
There were tons of mistakes in there. Like, everyone really? Was yo, like, ah!
Yo, real talk. I saw
which
the
ones?
Hulu version of Fan Friction yesterday.
Yeah.
And he doesn't say, I fuck Superman. He says, yeah. I bang. So what is that?
We changed
what is
that. Whoa. Yeah. Because we can't be TVMA.
How dare you? We can't bleep the F word? Because Ash says it beforehand and we bleep it.
She doesn't say it in the short.
The short, it being in the short matters?
Everyone.
Oh, so she says it in the documentary portion, but
yeah,
not in
the
short portion?
I thought it was more.
I see.
World breaking if in the short you had like someone coming in from the outside and being like, this is a bleep.
Oh, okay.
So in the documentary, everything gets bleeped.
Okay.
But in the short.
Okay.
How was. Now, how
you
was.
You might have to bleep it for Jess's big date, though, because they're just cussing left and right.
They are. Oh. Sorry, you were going
to
say
how was that? How was that working? Because we're used to, and at least since I've been here and from day one, I mean, everybody's been doing their own things and on a platform where we can pretty much kind of do what we want unless it gets flagged for like gore, you know, but
yeah.
Like cursing and things like that has never really been a problem. Mm-hmm. Was that something that was difficult for you guys? Like having to worry about a little bit of standards and practices?
There's
like,
one line in Fan Friction that I will always miss where Ashley is writing a sex scene. And Ellery goes, that's not how you write. This is gross. And she goes, yeah, it is. I'm fucking wet right now.
Yeah.
And because it's such an aggressive sentence. Mm-hmm. And we changed it to, I'm so wet right now. And I was like, oh, but then I realized we got to say, I'm so wet right now on a TV-14 show, which
yeah.
is pretty insane.
Yeah. Yeah. You're implying that we have rules on Hulu. And we still
yeah.
don't. They
yeah.
still let us. I mean, we turned in the scripts for the shorts like mm-hmm. the day we started shooting. We're like, hey, guys, here's what we're going to shoot. They're like, all right, cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah. The S&P notes are like, it's literally just a
standards and practices.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. The standards and practices notes from the network to let us know how to achieve the TV-14 rating are literally just like 10 bullet point lists of like bleep, fuck, bleep, fuck, bleep, fuck. Like,
yeah.
in terms of content or story or anything like mm-hmm. that, they don't... That's not why...
Yeah, they were completely okay with, like, graphic depictions of dudes shirtlessly making out and, like, having Ellery say, I liked it when they jizzed on each other. Like,
jizzed all
they were
over
okay
each
with
other.
Really, really, what visually, like
yeah.
verbally graphic stuff, as long as there weren't naughty no-no words.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
That's awesome, actually.
Yeah.
Now I think about it.
I'm less
upset about that stuff
yeah.
now that I've
yeah,
talked it through.
In hindsight, now thinking about that short, yeah, we really did freaking go for it that way, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's pretty rad. One of the other things I wanted to ask you guys about, because there's been a lot of people that have been wondering or worrying, confused in the slightest bit, like, where can we see the episodes? Are the whole thing's going to be, or people internationally are wondering if there's any way they can see it. Or how, you know, some countries don't have Hulu. How can we see the episodes? And I believe we can now speak on that. We have a little bit of
yeah.
information. So there's a little bit of international distribution now happening, right? So those in other countries can see the show, right?
Yeah. So just starting from like the bottom, working our way up,
mm-hmm.
the show itself, you get both the behind the scenes and the short.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ever worried like, oh, well, I get to see the short. Every episode, you get to see the short.
Gotcha.
It's like... It's not like DVD special features where you only get behind the scenes
mm-hmm.
or you only get the movie. You get both in one.
In one.
Moving from that, it is on Hulu right now. The
mm-hmm.
first two episodes are up. Every episode comes out every Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to keep running for the next 6 weeks. So there's going to be 8 episodes in total. The first episode is also on our YouTube page, and the first short is on our YouTube page.
Gotcha.
And then starting next Wednesday, every short is going to be on the YouTube page a week behind, because you will be able to see everything much earlier on Hulu.
On Hulu.
International viewers have the ability to watch it on iTunes.
Yep.
In Australia, Canada, France, and Germany.
Boom.
And we're working on the UK right now, and that should be up soon. And
nice.
We'll put a blog post for that.
That's awesome. And also, not only that, I mean, because we've had, I mean, I've been there too, broke college kids, or just, you know, being someone without a job, or just not wanting to pay money for a subscription for something. We like Hulu's taking care of us, and they're being nice enough to give like a free 30-day trial, right? So they're like, if you go to rocketjump.com/Hulu, you can get a 30-day free trial, and that covers almost the entire season of the show.
Yeah.
Right? And that also like makes us look better, because that in turn lets Hulu feel or think that we're bringing people into the fold.
And that'll give us fans.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And that'll give us a chance to make a season two or, you know, whatever the next big project is. Mm-hmm. Speaking on that, is like a season two something that you would want to do? Did you enjoy it that much? Would you like to expand on that?
I got to imagine it'd be a relief for you because now you know how the documentary portion is supposed to feel.
Yeah, I think it's I was saying this, I don't know, maybe this is too like honest, but making the season one of this show, mm-hmm. it was like a learning process for something that we don't know would happen again. Now I know how to make the perfect season two, but that's still up in the air.
You don't know if it's going to,
But it was, I mean, we learned a bunch and I think we're all
really happy. A lot of the time spent in editing was like, how do we even make this documentary part a thing? It's, what is this?
Yeah.
Nobody hates each other. This isn't a show. And then it sort of clicked. And now that it's clicked, it's like, cool. You know, we now know how to put the Lego pieces together. Give us more Lego pieces, please.
Yeah. And sometimes we wished we were all just crab fishermen, you know? Because then we could just be like, oh, we didn't get any crabs today. The episode's, it's a sad one.
I wish someone was just hiring us to make weird cakes.
Why didn't we make motorcycles?
Cake boss. Love cake boss. Buddy, right? Buddy the cake boss. One of the other things I wanted to ask you about is, I mean, we always have a fun time making stuff, and we always want to push the boundaries, or at least we want to attempt to stretch whatever medium we're using to make something as far as we like as possible and go as hardcore as we can. Like thinking of season two when we did the 24-48 split, we never make it easy on ourselves. We always do something that's either never been done or we always want to test ourselves in a new way. And I don't know how much we can talk about this, but I know there was one short that you guys shot entirely on an iPhone. Like, why would you want to do that? What made you want to do that? How difficult was that? And how does that work being on a set? And because you had an entire crew, an entire massive film set with dozens and dozens of people, lighting rigs, gaffer, everything, and you're using a goddamn iPhone. Were there moments where you thought like maybe people on the crew were like, this is ridiculous? Like,
I was really glad Hulu executives didn't show up. Like, you guys are idiots.
How did they know? Did they know that that's what you were doing at Hulu? Like, was that a discussion you had to have with them? Sorry, that's like six questions in a row. It's like, my mind is just blown. Like, I can't imagine how difficult that must be.
Your idea for short is stupid. Yeah. Why did you do a stupid idea for a short, you stupid idiot?
So the easy thing would have been to film it on a really nice camera and then introduce a bunch of digital artifacts and shitty like autofocus and auto exposure faking things in After Effects. And I didn't want to do that because I just wanted to look subconsciously like a cell phone. I think the whole point is that for the uninitiated viewer, this should just be as if they're about to watch Freddie make a vlog. Yeah. I didn't want it to be like, oh, you know, something's coming. Like, because in a lot of found footage stuff, they're always focusing on what's going on. And it's like, why would the character do that? You know, why would they film the monster attacking them? Like, put the fucking camera down. But with Freddy's vlog, his character in it is such that he would want to capture.
Freddy's vlog is the name of the short, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Freddy's vlog is the name of the short. Mm-hmm. For example, I just got a QC note on Freddy's vlog like earlier this morning.
And quality like, control.
Quality control.
Mr. Business over here.
I will be your footnotes.
thank you, Anthony.
And they were like, you know, we can see like the light in the shot. And it's the opening shot when Freddy's in his car. And they're like, we can see the light above him. And I'm like, yeah, you can. Freddy lit his car because he knows he's going to be recording in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is, he films himself, therefore he wants the best light, therefore he put the light up, and if you see it, that's because he's too, like his character's
he's an egomaniac.
His character's too lazy and arrogant to try and fix it. His character would rather have the light in the shot than miss out on being really well lit.
Yeah. Was there ever a moment where maybe they felt like you were trying to use that as like a crutch or an excuse to get away with some things? Did you ever have a moment where you're like, maybe that's too much? It was meant to be. Like, did that ever happen?
He would have the director and several tripods in the shot.
He loves the boom.
There is a car accident where someone's in the reflection of the car. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I'll paint that one out. That was pretty obvious. But like, there are moments in it that I didn't even notice that was happening that I'm really happy happened.
Yeah.
Like in the climactic moment of the short, Freddy's yelling about something and he just slowly moves the camera towards himself.
Yeah.
And like, if you're thinking about that, cinematically, that makes perfect sense. That like the character in his moment of despair, you would get like the Shawshank Redemption, like crane in shot. Yeah. But And if this was just a guy recording a moment in his life, he probably wouldn't even be recording. So it's like every moment of this thing, you're like stepping back and you're like, oh, wow, just the context of what he's doing right now on every level is so fucked up. I can't believe, like, the fact that you can follow this story means that he sought out the phone in every location he was. Yeah. Like, that alone is just like, what the fuck was he doing?
And we're almost running out of time here, so I just wanted to ask you one last thing. For those who haven't seen the show yet, I mean, mostly the people that watch this podcast are diehards, so I'm imagining or hoping that a lot of them or most of them have. But for those that haven't, what is your quickest 30-second pitch? What can you say, or what can you give them to let them know this is something they may want to see? What would you give them? What would you say to them?
I'd say, hey, kids. Hey, it's your friend Freddie Wong. Do you like lightsaber fights? Do you like horse races? Do you like the Fast and the Furious? Do you like beating up Nazis? Do you like guys making out? Do you like not guys making out? Because most of the shorts don't have that, but some of them do. Then you'd love Rocket Jump the Show, and also just life in general. Life, just go out and get it. Go out and enjoy it yourself. But before you do that, go on to rocketjump.com/Hulu. Get a free 30-day trial of Hulu. Watch Rocket Jump the Show. Tell your friends about it. And then go out and live life.
Worked on me. Worked on me. You just got me. That's for sure. How about you, Ben?
I would say that if you are an aspiring filmmaker or someone who wants to do something creative, hopefully our show can be something that you watch and either feel inspired by or can learn a lesson from, good or bad. And maybe you watch it and you're like, I don't want to be like those fucking people at all. But at least now you know a direction to go in.
We'll shut that door for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I can attest to that. I mean, being in the premiere, and I've been here, you know, for years, and I was here through the whole production of the show, but watching the first episode, like, I can honestly tell you, and I'm not bullshitting anyone, I was walking out of the theater after the premiere, I was freaking inspired, and I was watching the people I work with every day, and I know how talented everyone is, and I know how hardworking everyone is, but watching it again, it was done in such a way that was heartfelt, and I felt good walking out of there. I felt hopeful, and it was just a really nice feeling, and I hope everybody else can feel that too, and I definitely agree with you. I think you're definitely onto something there, and I wouldn't be surprised if you guys definitely did inspire at least a couple kids out there to go out there and chase their dreams, or at least their filmmaking dreams. So good job, fellas. We can't wait to see the rest of the episodes. There's 6 more coming out, correct? And they're all going to be on Hulu. You can get your free 30-day trial, rocketjump.com/Hulu. I'll stop wasting your time. I really appreciate you guys sitting with me today. Now we will unlock the doors and let the rest of the, we can let the rest of the employees in. I'll let you get back to work, but thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for the show. I appreciate that too.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.